Tonight we have a guest we've had on before, but Justin fucked everything up and he didn't. It didn't come out or something like that, right? It didn't. What happened?
It was a glitch.
Gary thinks it was Anthony that was here.
It was Anthony.
So there's another whole conspiracy about this missing episode.
Oh, he was here. Very fishy.
But we got South Boston native, stand-up comedian, Instagram extraordinaire, Gary Bolzempic Bolz.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
Nothing. Glad to have you back. Sorry about the last
time. Happy to be here.
It happened with a couple of people. It happened with John Ahern and you. Was that it? Just those two, right?
Yeah.
You guys just wanted me back that badly that you fucking sabotaged it. I get it.
Yeah, we did. We had a good time.
Absolutely.
And we talked about you and Anthony. That's right. When he come on, right?
That's right.
Anthony's doing big things.
Absolutely.
On the comedy circuit.
Absolutely.
What do you got going on?
I'm doing Laugh Boston on Friday. First time hitting that stage. I'm hosting. I got a bunch of shows coming up in the Cape in September. So I'm picking up speed. Pretty crazy.
Where's Laugh Boston?
Seaport in the Westin Hotel. Friday. Doors open at 7.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be great.
Tell us a little bit about yourself growing up, what you've been through. I remember seeing you with your father in the videos, and you still live at home with your father.
I'm back home again 2 years ago. Yeah, I'm in and out my whole life. It's like a fucking revolving door. Imagine, you know what I mean?
Imagine being that old and still living with your father.
No, you know what it was? My sister died. I was like, they're just so lonely.
That's a self-deprecating joke, Mike, right?
They're just,
I got it anyway.
They're just so lonely. I'm like, these poor people, they need me.
Yeah, they do. What would they do without you? That's what I say to my father.
What would they do?
What would you do without me?
I saw him getting old. Let me take out the trash.
Clothes to wash. You know what I mean? You gotta keep him busy.
I'm a traveling comedian gypsy, so if anyone's out there, if you're a widow, anything, hit me up. Hit the DMs.
Speaking of that, especially if they got money, you know?
Yes.
He's a gold digger.
Looking for Weston, Wellesley, Sherbourne, Newton. Yeah. Looking for those places. Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah, Newport.
I'll even take Little Compton.
Yeah.
I'm not picky.
Newport. Little Compton. What's that?
That's in Rhode Island. Nice little beach community in Rhode Island.
Oh, all right.
I got recognized in this.
Did not know that. Now, has your father and your mother gone to any of your shows?
They finally went a couple months ago. I did a club out in like a Walpole, like VFW club. And we did like a sold out show there. And my parents showed up and I torched them. I torched them pretty good.
Well, your father seems like a real good sport.
My father's a hot shit.
He was a CEO in Deer Island and South Bay.
Yeah. He retired as a captain from South Bay like 20 years ago. He already had 28 years in. He had a back injury, went out the fucking door.
That's the way to go. The old back
injury. Yeah,
the old
man.
Back injury.
The old breaking up a fight maneuver. Is that how it happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, of course it did. Yeah. The oldest one in the book, my friend.
It's day one stuff, Mike.
That's day one stuff.
2 weeks into the job, I'm throwing myself down the stairs and be like, someone pushed me. you know
what I mean? I know someone who actually did that.
That's the old Charles Stewart move, right?
Yeah.
What's that?
Exactly.
He said, did you get the person that pushed me?
That was the joke. Speaking of that, to go off subject. Recently, where was it? I saw Dave down at Strega. So I was I forget what it was, but something come up. It might have been going over the Tobin, and I something about Charles Stewart. I might have talked about it on here, and then I went to Strager afterwards, and I'm like, how do they never make a movie about Chuck Stewart? So it was during the whole what's-her-name trial where you were at, Karen Reed. Yep. And I go to Strager afterwards, and I'm just talking about Chuck Stewart, and Dave's like, oh, there was just this movie producer here, and you know, so I think he's going to do something on Karen Reed, and he was joking around like, oh, you know, get me in the movie. And the guy goes, oh, you know, I'll think about it, whatever. He goes, but I'm starting filming on a movie about Charles Stewart. And I'm like, I was just fucking talking about it. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking bananas.
It is kind of wild, especially bananas. With the racial tensions, all the different,
oh man,
you know, aspects of that story.
Yeah.
Wow. And there was a big thing. Wasn't there recently a big thing on like Netflix or something? I remember Jermaine Wiggins talking about it, and everybody was talking about how great it was, showed how corrupt the cops were. So there was on one of them networks it was on Netflix,
but they talked about it.
So I don't know about a movie, but there was like a little mini series about it.
And the corrupt cops in Boston, speaking of corruption, did you ever see I was in Walpole with him, Sean Ellis, the Trial 6? I never a big Netflix thing. Was it Trial 6? Did you ever see that?
No.
Did you ever see that, Justin?
No.
Netflix?
Oh man, unbelievable. Yeah, unfucking believable.
Oh, you watched it, Mike?
Oh yeah, unreal.
What was it?
So remember when Sean and Terry Patterson, the cop got killed in the Walgreens Mulligan?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I
did see it. It was unbelievable.
Oh, see, I didn't see that.
I did see it.
The guy they framed for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I told the story. I was walking in the chow hall in Walpole with Sean Ellis, and they made that on. And he's behind me, and he screamed this high-pitched scream, and everyone spun around. And there was a little mouse, like, running between his legs. I said, that's when I said, you're innocent. You ain't no killer, Sean. Everyone was laughing. I mean, that's worth a watch if nobody's seen that. But this cop Mulligan back then, like let's say he got killed in 86 or whenever it was, 89, he had like 4 cell phones.
He was shaking people down.
An apartment in South Boston. Wow. 2 Corvettes.
Wow.
He was like walking into this in that story. I think it was South Boston Drug Court with like a, you know, like an 18, 19 year old prostitute, like getting her charges dropped, and she's leaving with him.
He's like fucking Josh Brolin. He's like Josh Brolin, American Gangster.
Yeah. Remember? He's leaving with her. She's getting in the Corvette and they're driving away. Like this guy, and when they had the wake and funeral for this guy, or they just had some thing, there was like a million cops and they're all up there at the memorial telling stories about this guy, and they're joking about how every arrest he would write in plain sight. So around the police station, that was the joke with him, right? They called him in plain sight because he'd write up every police report the same way. Oh, when I stopped to talk to him, you know, I looked down and I saw, you know, a bag of, you know, whatever, in plain sight.
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know, a gun sticking out in plain sight.
How convenient.
Like, yeah, well, because that gives them deference to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, this guy,
right?
Like,
yeah.
And it kind of goes to show you, like, during that thing, during the Charles Stewart thing and back then in those times, I mean, if you were a dirty cop, man, the money those guys made.
The best corruption doc I ever 70s, seen.
80s.
Yeah. You ever see the 75th about the cops in New York?
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite. My favorite talk ever.
They do all the firehouse. When they went get a ladder and put it up to the window, they were robbing these Dominicans. Yeah, it's great. That's another one. And I don't watch a lot of TV, but
Michael,
I saw that.
Michael Dowd was a cop's name.
Yeah, and he ended up like selling Cuban cigars.
Yeah, I heard that name.
Oh,
yeah,
man. He goes, Michael was a gangster, man. Remember they interviewed the guys? And Michael was a gangster.
Remember when they interviewed some other cop and they go, when I went to the precinct and I first saw him, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, perp.
Yeah,
he goes,
yeah,
but he was a cop. Yeah. But I'm thinking perp. Oh. You know, it's like, yeah, he was like
pretty good indicator.
Yeah. Yeah, the end of it was the best. They're taking him out in cuffs and shackles, and the Rangers won the cup that year. And he goes, "Hey," he yelled to some cop. He's like, "How about the fucking Rangers, huh?" And they were taking him out the back door. He did like a dime in the
face. Really?
How much time did he do?
11 years or something. Yeah. 12 years. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
I wonder where
his partner snitched him out. Kenny, whatever his name was.
Yeah. That's how it usually happens, right?
Yeah.
Somebody tells on you.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I said, we could have talked all night about that, but that's worth a watch, that Trial 6. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I remember watching that, though.
Yeah, that and
right when you describe what it was about, I remember them showing the picture of his car and shit in the parking lot.
Wait, you had a little bit of a stint in prison too, didn't you? Did you? What's your history? We all got this common denominator here at the table.
I did 5 fucking seconds.
But I'm saying, what happened?
Yeah, well,
compared to him, I did 5 seconds.
And me compared to other people, I did 5 seconds. So, like, but it's all relative.
My friend Louis is about the con.
I ran wild on OxyContin, starting at 19, throw my whole 20s to switch to Perc 30s. And in the tail end of my 20s, I was clean and I had spinal surgery and they gave me hydrocodone Percs. I'm still in pain. I'm like, someone gives me dope. I sniffed it for 2 weeks. Next thing you know, I'm shooting dope for 3 years. And I have no fucking hustle. Wow. Like none whatsoever. And I seen all these people robbing banks in Southie. One dude didn't wear a mask, didn't ask for no dye packs, red ink up his nose and his eyes. He's trying to spend red dye to get dog food. Another dude gets tackled, screamed something. Another dude just gets told flat out no. And I'm like, I think I can do this the right way. And I had never been arrested before. Not that I hadn't done shit. I never got caught for shit I had done, petty shit. Right. One day I woke up. I was like, I'm doing it today. I went to the bank, Eastern Bank in Southie, and had a note, scarf. I was like, hey, how you doing? They're like, hey, how's it going? And it just said, hey, hand me all the, there's people laugh at this because I did call it currency in the note. I goes, please pass me all the U.S. currency and I'd appreciate it. No dye packs. What a smiley face. Shout out to Mark. He still puts NDP on everything. Yeah. No dye, team, no dye packs. But I got away that day with a little less than 2 grand. Threw up into my kitchen sinks. Fucking my nerves. Ugh, like, oh my God. I just remember looking down at my dog. I was on Ativan, fucking everything. I'm like, dude, we got to score. I went to the casino, got high in heroin. A few months later, I'm like, I'm going to go back up to the same fucking bank and that's I'm going to do it again.
I remember you telling me that story in South Boston.
This time, a black lady's working. She goes, excuse me, can you remove your facial coverage? You're frightening us. I'm like, yeah, but look at my note. I don't know why the self-sabotage moment happened, but they gave me the money again. No dye pack. I went home and like 3 weeks went by. I'm like, they don't even give a shit. It's happening around here so often. This is crazy. Monday morning, Universal Hub, Mass Most Wanted, Fox News. Yeah, I was like,
Mass Most Wanted.
And my dad, retired captain, he's like, buddy, what the God, fuck?
I know. That must have been tough for him.
You can tell it was you. Was it clear as day?
Yeah. It was pretty bad. And then I found out that you get like up to $750 on Mass Most Wanted if you turn people in and the Fed and the state. I turned myself into Braintree Police Station. That's where my family moved. They were like, yeah, everyone knows who you are. Like, other words, people were calling. I'm like, I'd love to fucking know who called you fucking snitch.
Listen, they call, they'll call for nothing. Yeah. $750. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's a hell of an incentive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, speaking of your father, before you turned yourself in, that must have been, did he know that you were blasting dope? And
they're not stupid. You know what I mean? They struggled. They saw me struggle with opiates my whole life. But that morning he sat me down and he's like, what is it with heroin? I goes, I don't know, Dad. What was it with cocaine in the 80s? I grew up in a different fucking era. It's called the pharmaceutical era. Don't fucking judge me. We grew up differently. You know what I mean? He's like, all right, it's a valid point. Like, you know what I mean? It was a literally conversation. He goes, might as well have a cigarette. Don't know if it's going to be the last one for a while.
Wow.
And then I went to Nashua Street.
I remember my father. So my father never did drugs. To this day, he's 82. He still goes to the gym every morning at 5 a.m. And he goes to the bar every day and drinks. And the guy drinks 6-7 days a week. But, he's a gym rat, even as old as he is now. And he, he knew I'd been arrested with heroin and everything else. And one time, we're in a townhouse. I went down to the laundry room and I had the belt around my arm and I was hitting and the dryer was going. So I could always hear someone coming down the stairs, but the dryer was on and I left my cell phone up. He came down and he opened the door. And I turned around and, I had blood going down. I was registered. I was in. I'm just like, pushed it in. I remember seeing his face like, killed him. Even though he knew and I'd been arrested with it. And I'd been arrested
seeing you in person doing it.
Yeah, it was just like
another thing.
Oh, man, that was a tough one. What I mean? So,
I never got caught in the act.
Yeah, it's not good.
Only by a Burger King manager in Southie. He's like, you can either finish shooting up or leave. I'm like, I'll finish shooting up and then I'll leave.
I was in McDonald's once, and I'm sure Justin's done this. You know what I mean?
Key phrase for we know Justin never did this, but go ahead.
Every man worth his salt has done this. So I go in the stall, and there's only one stall with a toilet. and the McDonald's. So I go in and I get the spoon out and I put the dope in and everything. And then I realize I don't got my bottle of water.
Oh.
So I like look through the crack on the door. I bend down, I look, and there's like three sets of feet standing there. So I'm like, someone's waiting to come in and use this. I can't open the door and be like, excuse me, I'm just going to go over to the the sink for a second.
Toilet water.
Yeah, toilet water. I stuck it right in. I gave it a quick flush.
Yeah.
Like, nice. Like a gentleman.
Yeah. You want the clean stuff.
Yeah,
you
got to give it a quick flush. I'm sure you did the same.
The old fecal flush, you know what I mean? The old fecal flush.
Right in, shazam, bing, bang, boom. Good as new. Yeah, so... That was
fast food bathrooms.
But yeah, fast food bathrooms. A lot
clutch.
Of people actually die in there because they go in there and they lock the door and they're in there by themselves. And then the next thing you know, hey, someone's been in the bathroom for an hour, and then they're banging on the door. Another time, this was a good one, I went to CVS when they first started selling needles. Before, you had to get someone who was a diabetic. It was a big deal. But when they started letting you buy insulin syringes at CVS, I'm in CVS once, and there's a line at the pharmacy, and I'm there, I'm waiting, and the pharmacist is there, and a lady, and I'm like, yeah, a pack of insulin syringes, this and that. So they ring it up, and they put the bag right here, and I pay, and I go, do you have a bathroom I could use? Because you know, in CVS, you got to go, it's like in the back, right? So the pharmacist goes, yeah, it's right over here, but I'll hold these. He grabs the needles, that we're at a stalemate. I'm looking at him, I go, I don't got to use the bathroom anymore.
You can keep the bag, but can you give me one of them?
He goes, yeah, that's what I thought. He put it back. I go, smart move. You probably would have been knocking that door down.
Well played,
Cotton. A fireman with an axe for 20 minutes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The good bad old days. So back to
stalemate.
So, yeah, we reached the stalemate. So... Now, you, on your way to Braintree Police Station, what happened? Your father walks you in?
Yeah, my father.
Did he wear himself my uniform?
No. My father had talked like a state. They're like, yeah, just have him surround himself peacefully, whatever. And I met them outside, like anything, shop in your pockets, whatever. And I went down in the interrogation room. They let me know I'm being recorded audio visually. It was me, a FBI agent, and a state police guy. They're like, what made you do it? I'm like, I don't know. I fell asleep watching The Town. He's like, all right, funny guy. I'm like, nah, fucking heroin actor, like you are.
Impetus for the comedy career.
Yeah. Oh, always. Especially when I'm nervous or something, like I'm telling jokes. And then the only question they asked that didn't pertain to the bank robbery, they're like, "Where do you get your shit?" And he's like, "Let me rephrase myself. Where do you get your drugs?" I said, "I look for kids on bikes in the projects." They were like, because I don't know what's going to happen at the time. First of all, I'm not ever going to say anything. And first of all, second of all, their fucking names are Blue Angel, Hellraiser. Like, you know what I mean? They got burned phones. They're like, all right, he's not going to tell us anything. I'm like, yeah. They're like, who put you up to him? I'm like, seriously, guys? Fucking genius operation.
Should have said your dog.
Who put you up to it? Oh, I don't know, guys. They're like, why did you go to the... same bank the second time?
It's a good question.
Yeah, right. I goes, it was easy the first time. He goes, that's a fair point. Yeah. I remember him saying, like, the woman you robbed the first time had been robbed a few times. She said that was like the nicest. I was like, oh, I got that going for me. Yeah,
the nicest one ever. You're the nicest bank robber she's ever met.
Yeah.
You should have heard what I would do. No die pack or you die.
Yeah,
she wouldn't think you were so nice.
So my buddy goes, why did you take the thing down the second time? I goes, honestly, I was fucking scared shitless. He's like, no, you yell and say, this is a robbery. I'm like, buddy, do I look like fucking John Dillinger?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fucking professional. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Like,
fair to say.
A friend of mine, Richie, I don't say his name, but I was with him once. We were doing something. He had this long barrel 22. And we were getting high, and he went to rob a bank. And he went in, and he went up to the teller, and it was like the bank was kind of busy, and he's like, you never know. He's like, give me all, you know, all your lodge bills and that. And he lifts up his shirt, and the handles of the old pistol is sticking out of his waistband. He comes back. He's like, you wouldn't believe this, you know. So he said the lady screamed. So I'm like, what did you do? He's like, I took it out and just went around. Everybody on the floor. I'm like, no, you didn't.
Dog day afternoon.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, I did. Oh, the old, yeah, and you don't see many of the old bank takeovers.
Yeah, yeah. No.
You know, you see a lot of the, you know, the addicts like me and you, right? Yeah, like, we were in the town. We were in there passing a note, dope sick, you know, and I always say that. And you don't see too many takeover style bank robberies. Those are the, that's when they really, that's insane. When the FBI goes in, into overdrive, like, all right. We got somebody here who's fucking
he's done this before.
Dangerous individual.
He might have a little experience with this.
But I always said that. That's got to be nutty, you know?
Oh.
That is-
Everybody down.
Imagine. You know, the second time I did it, there were two C6 Boston police cruisers parked outside. And I'm like, this is a deterrent. Like, whoever's walking Broadway, they did this because this has been done before. Obviously, I did it. I still did it. Right. I walked down just to make sure they were further down the street.
Yeah.
I ran up the street. Did it with the cotton, still did it.
Yeah. So
I was desperate. You know what I mean?
Drugs will make you do the craziest things like, in the whole world, like use toilet water in the bathroom.
Did they send you to Nashua Street in South Bay? Because when your old man who worked there before,
I'm in Nashua Street right now. I'm sick as a fucking dog. I'm in on the top tier, like Newman or whatever. And a white shirt. Now, I don't know. It's like assistant superintendent or whatever. Yeah. Brings a bag in. Everything from the commissary. Two radios, this, everything. I go down to lunch, right? I'm like, this is not going to be good. I can't wait for people to say something to me at lunch. They just made me look fucking bad.
Yeah.
He's like, what's up? You a plant? I'm like, no, my dad used to be a fucking CEO. He goes, can you get us out of here? He goes, well, I'm fucking sitting here, genius. What do you think? I don't think so. Pretty sure I can't. And it wasn't even my dad.
Yeah.
It was
somebody that knew your father.
My father's best friend was like an uncle.
I mean, those kind of moves in prison.
He made a call. And
guys respect that. If a cop knows a guy, fucking sends him up something. That ain't.
It's just like, well, for everyone to see you guys could have done a little bit more discreetly.
I can see how that might be uncomfortable right when you walk in the door.
On my back.
I don't know. Radio's a nice come up, though, when you first get there.
Oh, huge. Yeah. Two of them.
Yeah. I wasn't there long. I got billed out after a couple weeks on an ankle bracelet, and they put me in detox, and they're like, listen, you can't go into detox with nothing. Everything's out of your system.
Yeah, you got to go get high, man.
Drink some beers.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I drank three beers and still blew a 000 at Cab Boston. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah. 000. Drank three Budweisers. And they're like, well, whatever. Yeah. I went in there in an ankle bracelet. That was a fucking nice, humbling experience.
Yeah. Remember at night lining up to go on the fucking vans to go over the island?
Dude. That legit what was happening. I ended up going to Danvers for there, then the island. But one morning, they're giving out Obama phones. They're just ripping boxes open and giving out fucking prepaid phones to everyone in the parking lot when I was there. I was like, what the fuck is
Francine
going on?
Still working there?
I don't remember.
Did you know her?
No.
Walsh, Mousy's. Did you know Mousy?
Oh, I know that name. Already. I know Francine Walsh. Yeah. I know that name.
Yeah, she's the best. She worked there forever. Good people. That so you get out? You should have drank six beers. You should have said, I'll be right back.
No shit.
And so you went to detox and what?
They put me in detox. They put me in Danvers for 10 days. And then they put me on the island. And my case came, I'd say, 2 months later. I was a week into the interim house. And I remember my lawyer, like, I'm clean shaven. You know, I got a suit, whatever. He's like, you know, you're going to plead guilty this day. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I assume it's a year or whatever.
What was your record before that?
Nothing.
Nothing. He never got arrested.
I never got arrested. My only arrest.
All right.
And I went from a public defender to him. Like, he took it over from a public defender, a friend of the family's. He's like,
who was the lawyer?
Pat Loftus. He leans in and he goes, you got 2.5 years suspended, 3 years probation. You got a complete healthy drug court. I goes, hold on a second. What'd you say? And I'm like, you didn't just say what I think you said, right? He's like, suspended. I goes, get fucked. He goes, buddy, you got a horseshoe up your ass. I suggest you keep it up there, you know?
Don't try it again.
Yeah, no. I always joke, like, white privilege, Massachusetts, lenient, no record. Like, I've heard of crazy shit. I heard a girl was accomplished for fucking credit union things, and she had no record, and she got suspended, like, 5 years. I've heard stories, but when it happens to him, I'm like, wait, are you fucking kidding me? He's like, you just better. I was telling him, I got out, and I told this kid from Southie what I got. He goes, yeah, it's a setup. I'm like, what is?
Well, yeah, it's probation. Nobody completes probation.
That's what he said. You know, I didn't know that. I'm new to this, you know? Not crime, but like getting caught. And like,
but that's how they think of it, too. You'll give them that time. You know, most people.
So he's scared to shit. I'm going to
complete probation.
I got through it, drug court and all that shit. I was clean for 2 years after that. I just smoke pot and shit now, but I was clean for 2 whole years.
Did you ever do dope again after that?
Never.
Really?
No.
OCs, nothing.
No. No, that's not. I took pain pills in 2017 was the last time. But the last time I shot, fucking around being an idiot. Oh, yeah. It was like a little slip. Right. So, and I haven't shot dope since March 2014. And coincidentally, I haven't taken an opiate since March 2017. Same month.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Me on March 17th, 2013.
Yeah, you're going on 13 years, right, Mike?
No shit.
It's 12 years last year, right?
12 and a half now.
Good for you.
Lucky month, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, March.
Luck of the Irish,
kid. And you're a year later, 14, right?
Yeah.
And then 17, you said,
I think
right?
It was March 11, 2014 was the last time I shot heroin.
Time flies,
Speaking
huh?
of anniversaries, I got off the bracelet last year, today. Last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, did you 26. Put that, did you tag me on that? Sorry, I didn't see it. Did you?
Yeah, I put it up. Your story that you put up last year, I put it up.
All right.
When I got the ankle bracelet off, they were like, oh, you had that on for an extra month. How bad? Like, you're shitting me.
Really?
Nice.
It was supposed to be off like a month
ago. Yo, did you see? Did you see now? They don't even have ankle bracelets. They got watches now.
No, sir.
That's watches.
That's no fun.
Now we gotta come up with a name for that. Irish Rolex. What are we doing? Rolex.
I heard there's thousands of people in Boston on, you know, that for the craziest shit. Like fucking
mean?
Kidnapping, robbery, attempted murder. On
lawyers were on strike there, Mike. Yeah. How did that work out?
Yeah, they're still on strike.
Oh, really?
They're still on strike.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can't get arraigned. They're either cutting them loose or they're bringing them back and arraigning them.
Our friend that got cut loose the other day, the kid from Saugus that's in Lynn, he got arrested. Then they let him out that day, but I guess probation picked him back up.
Oh, yeah. They did, right?
Yeah. They picked him up the very next day.
And he's somewhere.
Yeah, he's locked up right now.
Yeah.
So.
All around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's helped out a lot of people. This sure. Whole thing, but you know, I don't know what that's been going on for over a month, right?
I didn't know that.
I just saw something on the news. Someone got arrested, and there are two people, and they got arrested, and one of them they held without bail, and said they got to bring him back to court for his arraignment. It was like a dangerous thing, and they said due to the lawyer shortage. It was in the paper today. So
I'm sorry, the comedian in me. I'm thinking like, hey, you want to go do this job? Nah, man, can't even get a lawyer right now. I ain't doing no crime.
it's actually a good thing. Seriously. They can't hold you.
Yeah. So like,
they can't. They gotta let you go. They can't arraign you. They can't do anything. Yeah. So if it's anything short of a very serious crime, you're under a sentence of probation or parole.
Yeah.
Then they can parole can hold you, probation can hold you, but the court can't.
They got a thing now where they can probably hold you for 48, 72 hours where they probably get some lawyer out of somewhere and arraign you if it's serious because they can't just cut it.
So now's a good time to at least consider some minor crimes.
Yes.
I've been considering minor crimes. Every time I see something about these retail theft teams of shoplifters, I'm like, why ain't I? Why don't I fill up my car with some boosters and go out? Like these stores, I know people that work there. They're like, we cannot even say anything. They just let you walk, except
if it's you and me, Mike. I'll guarantee you if it's me. Yeah.
No,
that's the meat test again, Gary. Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. 100%. I'm gonna pay for the toothpaste.
They let you out the door and they just go to the cameras. Try to get your plate or identify you. They probably get facial recognition. They get you.
If you guys remember, a couple of years ago, Lululemon, they chased, I forget what the location was, they chased people out of the store. Lululemon fired them and the CEO goes, we have a policy. Let them go.
Yeah.
That's why you see their shit hot. You know what I mean? Their shit's stolen a lot. You always see thefts.
Got any?
Yeah.
All the Lululemon. I know. But like if you ever see, there's always thefts at like in police reports and shit. It's always like a Lululemon location.
Home Depot,
I come out of prison. Everything was locked up.
Oh,
everything. Yeah. Everything was locked up in everything.
Even the lube.
Now they, you know, shoplifting's a misdemeanor now. You can just keep getting arrested for it, I think. Nothing even happens.
It's crazy. What is it out in San Francisco?
I mean, it's not like I ever stopped shoplifting, but
you consistently shoplift.
I know.
It's BOGO.
I like that. I like that.
Beautiful for BOGO deals.
Sometimes
I like that for you, though, Mike.
Sometimes buy one, get too many.
Yeah. Not good for me, but good for you, Mike.
I guess they're doing away with the self-checkout.
They probably should. A lot of cases of water go. From what I heard, a lot of Poland Springs.
Did you hear that, Justin? They're doing away with maybe Walmart and Target or something. They're going to be doing away with the self-checkout.
Target? Wow.
I think so, yeah.
I got a funny story about that. Me and my buddy are stoned going to food shopping for him, right? And we're at the self-checkout. I'm stoned out of my face. I'm not thinking anything. I'm like, dude, you forgot the water. And he's like, what? Gary, shut up. I'm like, you forgot. He's like, Gary, shut the fuck up. He's trying to take out the door. Yeah. I'm so high. I thought I was doing
it. Dummy up, Gary. Talk sports. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck, my bad, dude. I guess I smoked a little too much.
It made you an accessory. But
I'm like, I don't live like that anymore. Like, some people, when they get clean, they keep stealing. I'm like, oh, so you weren't desperate. You're just a fucking klepto. Some people are like, well, I can steal better now because I have a clear head. I can think better about, you know, getting away with it. Believe me, I thought about it.
Well, I mean,
would I be a better criminal clean? You know,
I don't know. You're just what we said. Yeah, we already talked about in the parking lot. They got cameras everywhere. No matter what you do, you're ultimately going
to
get caught.
This is what we just talked about. So I had a girl say to me, I'm meeting her offline. She's like, are you a serial killer? I goes, what? Fucking Fruit Loops? Look at the size of me. I goes, you think I'm strangling someone in a fucking movie? It's 10 seconds. Real life, it's 10 minutes. There's Ring cameras everywhere.
Yeah, man, the sight of blood. You just said,
nope.
It's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Yeah, think you choke someone out. Like, oh, they strangled them to death.
Yeah.
No. It's a fucking.
In the movies, Jack Bauer is 24. He's done.
Yeah, just crack his neck like this. No, and it's over.
10 seconds and they're trying to get this guy out. I'm like, all right, buddy, come on. I'm going to try to break it.
Yeah, in real life.
Like, come on.
Don't work like that. 5-10 minutes, right? But all right, go ahead.
And then she said something, and I had a joke out of it. Goes, yeah, I got questioned by the cops before. They're like, we found a body near a hiking trail. I'm like, yeah, maybe if you found it near a Chick-fil-A, the sign of question would make more sense. You think I'm going to kill someone near a fucking hiking trail? You see me hiking, buddy? But I just think it's funny. Girls like, you could be a serial killer. I'm like, why aren't you? You ever hear of Eileen Wuornos? She was a fucking serial killer. Why is it always the guy? Yeah, she was a looker, huh?
Yeah, Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah.
You know her? You know
that face only a mother could love. Ugh. Face like a catcher's mitt.
She was a serial killer in Florida. Guys would pick her up and shoot.
Blow them away.
Really?
How long ago was this?
Oof. Charlize Theron actually won the Oscar for Planner. You want to hear a story about Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Her father was about to kill her and her mother in South Africa. Her mother gunned her father down. Not guilty.
Get out of here.
That's a true story, Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. She always says, my mother's my hero.
How come you don't know Mike? You know everything.
Yeah.
You know, I was in prison with a kid. You know, he's still around. I don't know. I haven't seen him forever. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say his name, right? I don't know. But he killed his father, right? So one day I'm with him, and they're like, stop handgun violence. And his picture come up, his mugshot. I'm with him. But we're shooting pool and conking. You know, what are you in for? And at the time, I was in for a marijuana case, trafficking over 100 pounds. And I go, what are you in for?
Fucking George Jung.
I go, what are you in for? And he's like, I shot my father. So we're shooting pool. He's like, down the eight ball. He chucks a stick and he lines up. I go, did you get him good? He fires in the eight ball. He looks at me. He goes, well, he's dead.
That's a fair statement. It makes sense. That's right.
My guy, Dave Whiting. Let's fucking go, Dave. I hope you're doing good, man.
Did
you get him good? He goes, well, he's dead, you know? So I got him.
Effective.
I got him good. But and the kid really shouldn't have got any time to come out. The father was very abusive.
Yeah.
I think the mother of strain orders, you go over there drunk, kicking the door. Like, you know, the kid didn't, he should have got off.
I
remember the case where, you know, he was telling me, like, even his uncles came to his trial in defense of him.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And they still found him guilty, like manslaughter, and gave him like a nickel or something.
Yeah. Less a charge, but still.
Yeah, he was a real good kid. But I always remember that. Did you get him good?
I actually worked with a guy at the trolley company. 10 years ago, he killed his dad, and the same thing, abusive dad, whatever. Now, at this point, he's older, and he did it a long time ago. So we're doing the driving thing, and people keep, like, getting over his back, like, yelling at him. And he's like, get away from me. I'm like, you might want to get the fuck away from him. And then, two of the kids didn't know what he did.
Yeah.
I'm like, he'd kill his dad. What do you think he'll fucking do to you? he's getting a little hot into the collar.
If you'll wipe out your old man.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes balls. I mean, it takes balls to fucking.
I think here at this table, right, I'm saying we all have great relationships with our father. My father's dead, but I'm saying. So it's hard for me to identify with any of that. I guess I can see it, but subjectively, my father's always been my best friend.
Yeah, and, me too.
You know, so, and I know Gary's the same
killing
way.
Killing any one of your parents.
Very hard.
If you flip this around, my father killed me in the 14 years.
Good point.
Good point. He literally told me at least once. He's like, I'll fucking kill you. He's like, we're going to find you dead.
Yeah.
You know, stealing from them and shit like that.
Good point.
You know what the best thing about drug addiction is? You're like, I'm always going to get away with this. I would do the army crawl into this guy's room to steal his ATM card. Go up to the ATM, the money,
my father,
and put the money back. Here's the best thing, right? I'm doing an army crawl. He wakes up to piss. I have to do a fucking tuck and roll under the bed. You know what I mean? Oh, he just missed me.
Best part? He can see how much money's missing on the fucking computer the next day.
You imagine just, these computers.
You
just don't want
to get caught for 2 seconds. I'm not thinking
computers
of that. I'm like, you can just check his account.
But I'm literally doing my existence.
Then there's that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, do you want to kill me? Kill my father.
My father still
me.
Talks about one time I'm dope sick, right? And I'm fucking, my nose is running. I keep blowing my nose. I got a box of tissues. And I'm pulling out.
How old are you, Mike?
I don't know, 24, 22. I don't know. So I'm going through the tissues in my father's house. I get to the bottom. And there's 17 $100 bills. My father would hide money around. No, he'd lift up the tissues and hide them. Yeah,
bad spot today.
Yeah, hey, it's like, hey, bad spot to be. It was before Dumb and Dumber come out, but he still talks about it. I put the piece of paper. I owe you $1,700.
No, you did?
Yeah, I did.
It's a ballsy move. Yeah. Like, what am I? Well played, Cotton. Because even if you couldn't give it back, it was like, hey, Dad, I didn't rob you.
He's like, you using a lot of tissues over there. What's going on? Runny nose, Dad. Real runny today. I'll throw this box away.
I just want to know. I got one question for you, Mike. After that,
yeah.
Did you check every single tissue box in the house?
I know one thing. Yeah. Being dope sick and finding 17 crispy $100 bills.
Pretty good day.
I felt better immediately, Gary. Immediately felt a little better. Had a little pep in my step.
Every time Mike comes by the house, as far as like, Mike got a cold every 2 seconds. Yeah, he always wants tissues. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, I love it. Tell me they show up. I've lightened my father's wallet a few times also, you know, and yep. My father, like your father and like your father, Johnny, was always there for me, even when he shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Right. You know? No, exactly. 1,000%.
Even when 1,000%. He shouldn't have been, you know,
1,000%.
And without him, I don't know. My mother, not so much, but my father, you know, I think my mother is like any addict or alcoholic or anybody like that, their enemy is that, what is it, Al-Anon or something. And my mother got into that.
Oh, really?
When I was like 12, 13 years old. And that's when I went into foster care when she signed me over the state. They're on this like tough love. Don't, you know, what's the word when they...
Enable.
You gotta, you know?
Yeah.
And she bought into that hook, line, and sinker. So it's funny, you know, you talk about Mark. Everyone, you know, I'd always put Instagram videos and be like, you know, when I was a small child, my mother looked me dead in the eye and said, bean shooter, you know,
yeah,
new sip cappuccino, sip like a gentleman, or whatever, whatever I say, I'm always, you know,
always the antecedent, I'm always saying this, right?
And sometimes I say crazy shit. Someone's like, your mother really said that? And I'm just like, yeah, my mother called me bean shooter.
but she looked me straight in the eye and said, bean shooter.
So one day, Mark Goodman sends me a message. He goes, when I was a small child, my mother looked me dead in the eye and said, bean shooter, pack your bags.
That's probably closer to the truth than any other one you've ever said, Mike. Shout out to Mark Goodman. We got to FaceTime him. Where is Mark? He usually FaceTimes us during the show.
I think he's down the north end right now. Yeah. Some softball shit going on. But yeah, that's great. You know, my mother, you know, she's all right, just different. My father was the type of guy, like, hopefully everyone has someone like that in their family where, you know, stick by you no matter what. He was always there. Visited me in prison, like, maybe once. He's like, I don't want to go up there with these assholes and wait in line. You know, he ain't about that, but I could always fucking call him up and, you know, he'd send me money and take care of me.
Yeah. I always said, Dad, what's the best thing about me? He said, the best part of you dripped down my leg.
He still sends to me all the time. Repeats the same joke to me. He's right, though. He would always be there no matter what, when he definitely shouldn't have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Tough love. Especially coming from him, like, as a captain, you think he would have been tougher? I mean.
Yeah, that must have been tough for him. You know what I mean? That must have been really tough for him. So kudos
We have the same name. So when I was in Nashville Street, I had a guy like, what's wrong with you, scaring the shit out of your father? And someone else, your father was our boss.
I could see that too.
I got fucking the pep talks, the speeches. And
my father was really well liked, respected. He was a bartender in Lowell and he was a bookie his whole life. So, you know, like a jock and, you know, athlete and just well known and really well respected. So it, you know, I get a lot of that too, you know, a lot of cops who like them and they'd be like, you fucking, you know, piece of shit. Like your father's a great guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I've had people, you know, one time I got a handwritten letter, like really ripping me apart. I was young. I was probably
from
15, 16. It was anonymous, but it was like the old penmanship.
It was like an eight-year-old guy who wrote it.
No, my father, fuck, he's like me. He's fucking chicken scratch. This was like, you know. It was something, but yeah, I had a lot of that. People breaking my balls, and
there's some incredible Tommy Lee stories. Yeah. Not for nothing. I mean, that guy's a pretty extraordinary human being.
Yeah,
man.
He's the best.
I respect that guy.
You know Pete the Fed?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So Pete Federico, I should have Pete on. Pete's a good guy, great golfer, and just a funny. He's a funny bastard himself.
Oh, shit.
But he called me up one day. He works for Boston Housing Authority, and he has to go do like I don't know what he does. Lead. Fucking paint checks or something on apartments. And he was with a guy who owned a lot of real estate, and he had some Section 8 apartments. And he calls me up. He goes, this guy was a fucking Lowell cop for fucking 40 years or something, right? He goes, were you born May 2nd, 1969? I go, what the fuck? I go, yeah. He goes, the cop knew your birthday off the top of his head.
Wow.
He goes, Mike Lee, 5269. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I know him well. I've dealt with him a lot. So I'm like, what was his name? Pete's like, I don't know his name. I'm like, and he goes, yeah, what about him? And he goes, his father's a real good guy. He goes, wow, I don't know what happened to that fucking kid. He just lost his fucking way.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
And Pete goes, really? He owns, you know, 2 sober homes. You've been sober?
Yeah. This was after the fact. That's good.
Yeah, he's a fucking Instagram.
He's like the guy.
He's like, the guy was shocked.
He must have shit.
Yeah, that's good.
I was like, what the fuck?
You know, I love hearing him thinking he's like a beautiful mind, like the way he remembers everything. Yeah, no, Mike just got arrested so much that he's seen his birthday twice a week.
Of course. Who the fuck would know that? That was the craziest thing. Pete the Fed. So Pete, we call him Pete the Fed. Pete Federico, he started going into Guy's place, Mirasola's, and he moved to Salty when he was young, and everyone, he was always alone. Everyone thought he was a Fed, you know?
So Shout out to Guy. He came to my show the night. A few of them came to Capo. And, see me do comedy. They were great.
Nice.
Guy Cookie, Dave. It's great.
I saw a guy at Pete's mother's wake.
Really?
Guy Mirasola.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're in the parking lot.
That's where I got about 10, 12. I took 10, 12 people down there, Mike. Sparrow was one of them.
Yeah.
Got them sick.
Yeah.
Had flu A. Got about 10 people sick. It was beautiful.
People were sick for a month with that. Did a bunch of people get it?
I think about 3 or 4. Sparrow was...
He had a bad.
He was patient B. I was patient A.
Yeah, he got it bad.
Yeah, he was. I seen him down not then the other night. He was still sick.
Damn.
You know, still getting over it.
Oh, speaking of that, what about Fabio? Is Fabio sick?
Fabio's getting better, right? But I think he had pneumonia.
Oh.
And he just wasn't getting better. You know what I'm saying? So
Fabio's a cook at Ben Cotto.
Yeah, Boston. The chef. Good friend of mine who's playing hockey with him as a kid.
Yeah.
Reno's in East Boston. You ever heard of Reno's?
My favorite restaurant
ever. Okay, so his father is Reno. His father's dead.
You ready for this? I've been going off on that for years. Yeah. I graduated from Salvo. My mother worked East.
So you know all my friends now.
So I message them and I say, hey, I want to come over. Can you guys hook me up on a Saturday? Hey, come on over, Gary, whatever. Now they like my video because in one of my viral videos, I said, I'll eat your ass like a lobster rab from Reno's.
Yeah.
So we go over there, me and the woman, right? We're sitting down eating. The waitress comes over in front of a packed Reno's and goes, I'll eat your ass like a lobster wrap from Reno's.
I grew up with all them people in there.
So nice.
Panzini's.
They are the best.
Oh, yeah.
So
great,
nice.
Great people.
I took pictures of them
and
all
then Tony and Fabio are brothers. Tony's at Reno's and Fabio's at Ben Cotto.
Really?
They're Reno's kids. Yeah. Oh. No, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Grew up.
I've only been there a couple times.
Oh, really?
Outside, Nate, you know, the sunbone.
Yeah.
It was fucking packed,
when they got the outside dining day. Yep.
Love it.
But
friends of mine. Shout out to Reno's.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
East Boston.
Yeah.
The only problem is parking.
I was going to say, it's
the only problem. Yeah,
just in a residential neighborhood on the corner.
I'd park at the top of the hill and I'd walk down.
One of the best restaurants, you know, in the city of Boston.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
When I gave trolley tours, people would always ask me what I should eat. You know, a few places in the north then I'd always say, but I was
definitely not
I'm
then.
I might go through the tunnel and go to Reno's. Yeah. Well worth it.
Speaking about East Boston people.
Hold up, Mike. Go easy.
Chris Colantonio. You know Chris?
Sure.
Chris is a good kid.
Mark's his older brother.
Did I tell you about what happened?
No.
What happened to Jimmy Colantonio? He's on.
I'm not.
He did about 30 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure though. Yeah.
So, Chris Colantonio, did I tell you about what happened with UMass Lowell with me, Gary?
No. I used to go to another party. A couple of my buddies from Southie went.
All I know is the story was Mike was on a rice paddy that whole day wearing a Chinese hat, so it couldn't have been him. So I'll let Mike tell the story.
So like a year ago, someone tells me about the gym, the rec center at UMass Lowell, and I always thought it was just for the students or alumni, and they said, no, you can join. So I joined this gym, and it's fucking great. You don't get people trying to be a personal trainer and this and that. It's like...
Facility and, is amazing.
Yeah, and they change the weights like every 2 years and all new equipment. I mean, the place is fucking great, right? Plus, it's all you Lowell kids, all good kids. And when they're home and on summer vacation, the gym is empty.
Mm.
You can't beat it.
Yeah.
So I go to the gym 2-3 weeks ago. I go walking up. I see Chris Colantonio. He's a union roofer. They're doing the roof over. So he's driving the fucking machine. So I go up like this with the fucking phone, getting off guard. He's like, I catch him off guard. He's like, what the fuck? I thought it was like OSHA or something filming me. I didn't have my harness on or something. So we're all fucking laughing. The guy's there. And I leave the gym and he thinks I'm still in the gym. He texts me. He goes, hey, you want to grab lunch? And I text him, where you want to go? He's like, I don't fucking know anywhere around here, you know? So I go, oh, there's a place up the street. It's pretty good. I'll come get you. And he's like, oh, I can just meet you. And I'm like, nah, I'm right around the corner. Now, in hindsight, I should have said, yeah, here's the address. Meet me there. So go pick him up. He brings another guy. Go grab lunch. Now I drop him off. I pull up. It's kind of like on the main street, but I pull off to like where the gym building is, but I don't go in through the thing. Like I'm technically on their property at this point, but barely.
Right.
Okay. Kid's getting out of the back seat. Sees a rocket I have. Like, remember the rocket when you were filming the video driving around Castle Island?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Remember? You're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. Right.
So he goes, oh, light this up. And the stick was broke. I go, it's fucking broken. That's why it's still there. He goes, I got some tape. So the electrical tapes it together. So now I get out and I stick it in like the bed of my truck. There's like a hole in the bed. I stick it in. It's like 1 p.m. There's nobody around. Yeah. Probably 2 people in the fucking gym. Schools, there's no kids.
Yeah.
Some vacation.
Yeah.
I light it off.
Boom.
Boom. All right, guys. See you later. Kid fucking calls me, fucking FaceTimes me 5 minutes later. He's like up on the fucking lift. He's like this. He pans down. There's fucking 15 cops combing through the bushes. Like, what the fuck are they looking for? Fucking bottle rocket paper? Hey. You know?
Stop it.
Yeah, so.
Look at this guy.
We got Mark Goodman.
They just said FaceTime him. I said, no, he's busy.
They got anyone in here.
He's down in the North End.
Look at this.
Nice. Looks good.
Huh?
Beautiful.
No dye patch. We just got through telling the story, too. That's awesome.
What are you hiding there?
Huh?
You're out in the field hiding some shanks under the first base bag?
Yeah, dude.
What?
Hey, tomorrow night, the finals.
Ah, the unit. The unit. Hey, we need the unit. We need the unit on the show.
I love it. When are you coming on?
It's Mike. We have to tape us and put it on social media and say, listen, this is the comeback series.
Yeah.
From way back when. Don't say why. Just
say why. All right, call me out. All right, I love you, buddy. Take care. Mark Goodman. Shout out to Marco. I love Mark Goodman, man. Great kid.
So he's in the lift with the phone.
And there's all cops everywhere. So I'm like, oh, I hope they don't, you know, like run the tapes back. So then he calls me back. He goes, they just fucking called me down and said, hey, see a guy in a white truck? And he's like, no.
The infamous white truck, brother.
It's the infamous white truck. It's the old rhetorical question. They already know he's speaking to a guy in a white truck because they saw him. They said, hey, listen, you were with the guy. You were talking to him. And he goes, yeah, he seemed like a nice guy. They go, what's his name? And he goes, yeah, I'm done. And they go, what's your name? He goes, I'm not comfortable giving you my name. He goes, you can talk to my boss. So he was the boss. He was the foreman on the crew. So he goes, you can talk to my boss. He's like, see you later. I'm going back to work. So now I'm like, oh, man, right? Now they're fucking looking at the tapes, right? So all of a sudden, fucking the next day, the next morning.
You know what happens, right? You know, listen, hold on. You know what happens the next day.
And I simultaneously get an email as they surround my house over a bottle rocket, right? So my daughter calls me up on FaceTime. She's like, you're not going to believe this. She's sitting there with my father. They come down the stairs. They're banging on the door. They open the door. There's like five cops standing there. My daughter Jordan goes, the cop looked at Grampy and said, do you know Michael Lee? I go.
Give him the answer.
I go.
Give it.
What did Grampy say? Sometimes I wish I didn't.
Yo, classic line. Classic fucking line. That's just what I mean about Tommy Lee. Like,
dude.
Classic.
You got to tell that story.
Classic.
That's unbelievable.
Classic. So sometimes now, I wish I didn't.
So I get a simultaneous email that UMass Lowell has a stay away order from the Lowell police, from all properties. And can you please give me a call? So I'm usually not going to call a cop, but at this point,
I want my membership.
You got me on tape, you know, lighting off a rocket. Like, what are you going to charge me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just say, hey, listen, it's a bottle rocket, stud. Yeah. That's it.
So I'm going to pull this picture up. So I call the,
It's not July 4th, sorry.
That's August.
And that's where they have the little fireworks display right there at that baseball field, right there. Right there. That's where they shoot off all the things. So, hold on, we gotta get this. Where's the Rizzuti picture?
That's unbelievable.
Rizzuti made this.
Cut it out.
It's good, right?
The Lowell Rockets.
Oh, I love it.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
I love that.
So, I call the lady up. And she says, your membership to the gym is terminated. You can't be on any UMass Lowell properties. That includes the Songus Arena.
Oh, my God.
I go to the fucking hockey games. Like, are you kidding me, lady? I lit a bottle rocket off.
Right.
Like, let's fucking, well, you know, when you light bombs on camp, I go, let's not. This is how this is going to look in my file someday. Like, guy lit off a bomb in the middle of campus and fucking, you know, the height of fucking classes.
Fucking
ETF's, you know what I mean?
Most wanted for a fucking bottle rocket.
It was a fucking shit.
But that's how exaggerated the response is to some of this stuff. Imagine, today. You know what I mean? That's what we were talking about out in the parking lot. It's just some things are so exaggerated.
School campuses, I get the whole.
I get it if you got a pistol. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. You got fireworks. Yeah. It's the fucking summer.
You guys know what it is. You guys,
come on!
Saw,
it's the
you
fucking
know
summer.
What it is?
What is it, like, ballsy?
It's a fucking rock. It was honestly Johnny Bottle Rockets over here.
I love that.
He had a bull groom deal up in New Hampshire. He came back over the border. Honestly, I don't know why the stick was broken. He's probably going to fucking stick somewhere in a fucking red light.
Hey, but Mike's best thing is looking back on it now. I should have met them at the restaurant.
Definitely.
You know, hindsight seems to always see 2020.
Sometimes I wished I didn't know.
Yo, listen.
Unbelievable.
He put that up. I go, just a classic, classic Tommy Lee line. Like,
when I was in rehab in Florida, I called my father. He's like, I fucking go to the gym yesterday. I opened the fucking door. There's five cops in there. He goes, fucking startled me. He goes, I kind of said something to the cop I probably shouldn't have, but no big deal. I'm like, let's hear it, Dad. He goes, there's this fucking black cop. Yeah, it's this cop, Kenny Moore. He's a fucking douchebag. Kenny Moore sucks. Lowell police. I'm just going to put that out there. He sucks. You know what Kenny Moore did to me once? He arrested me, right? And I was on my way to detox, and I was sick, and he arrested me, and he was a real shitbag about it. And there's a cop, Joe Zanoni. Rest in peace, Joe Zanoni. He was a detective. He's a good guy. Years later, he said something when I was getting arraigned. He goes, Mike Lee will never rat on anybody. Said that at the booking window while I was sitting there with like five people. And I'm like, fucking right, Joe. Thank you. But this cop, Kenny Moore, was with Joe Zanoni. And I'm dope sick. And he arrests me. And he's driving me to the police station in the back of the detective car. And he drives by these fucking dope houses. It was next to this Portuguese club in Lowell, the Reds Club. And he goes, hey, Mike, which one's selling dope? Is it the one on the right or the one on the I go, hey, Kenny, how about you go fuck your mother? You know, like,
yeah, of course.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to tell on someone on my way to jail. Yeah. Not that I tell on someone you let me go, but, you really, this is the respect level you have for me, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, people are probably like, oh, it's someone on the right.
Yeah, yeah.
Officer, you know what I mean? But so me and Kenny Moore had a thing.
It's just a conversation. So I don't rat on nobody.
So Kenny Moore used to be our paper boy when we were a little kid. And then he became a cop, right? And he's, you know, thinks he's all that, but. So he comes down and he's there with some detectives and they're like, I'm in rehab in Florida. I called my father. He's like, I kind of said something I probably shouldn't have to the fucking guy. I go, what'd you say? He goes, so right when I saw him all, he goes, I was going to the gym. I'm like, Mike don't live here no more. They're like, he don't? He's like, no. Where does he live? My father goes, so I said, Florida. He goes, the one more goes, Florida. So my father, he's got a quick temper. Me, I'll think about something for a fucking 2 days. And then go hit you, you know, over the head with something. Like, yeah. I'm not, like, my father's like, it's mad quick. So the cop goes, Florida? He goes, so I turned around, looked at him and said, yeah, it's a warm state right below Georgia. Florida. You ever heard of it? It's down south.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, Tommy Lee.
Hey, listen.
Good for him.
Classic, bro. Classic.
Good for him.
Listen, the best Tommy Lee story of all time is when he had his hip operated on. He had a hip replacement.
Yeah.
Guy goes to the bar every day and drinks every single day.
Since he was 16, 17.
Every single day. Tell him, Mike.
7 days a week.
Goes the best Tommy Lee story ever.
So he's sitting there on the couch and he was a bookie and he's always, you know, football pools and football season. He's sitting there on the fucking couch. Can't go to the bar for 2 months. Something. I go, Dad, you want me to go get you a 6-pack? He looks at me. He goes, you ever see me drink a beer in the house? I'm like, no. He goes, you never fucking will.
Get out of here.
Listen.
He's a barroom drinker.
Imagine this.
Unbelievable.
But staying like, because you know, I'm like, yeah, I just got my hip replaced. I don't know. Not a 6-pack. Give me a case.
Yeah.
I drink every day. You know, I drink. Yeah, give me a case of beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
imagine
unbelievable.
This listen that's
I will, unreal.
He's just one of those routine amazing. Guys get out 5:30 gym come back go for a fucking
but
2 mile walk
but it's not just a routine
back,
like you can't laundry, just so when people say like oh you're in jail you did this routine it's fucking hard to make that routine every day that's a lot of fucking fighting with yourself every single day and this guy's like
second nature.
You ever see me
yeah
he don't even take a shower in the house takes a shower at the gym tell him when he takes a shower
Christmas when the gym's closed
that's it. It's the only time
he
showers at home.
Saving a lot on water.
I'll tell you right now. He's a thief like me. He's always coming home. He's always coming home with extra like shower gel bottles. We haven't paid for that in 100 years. I like this one.
You
Irish
can say whatever you want,
fucking,
right? Extraordinary dude.
Yeah.
Extraordinary dude. And he's this guy's father. Imagine. Come on. I've got the fucking patience of Job.
One time they're raiding the house for me, right? So like I said, he's up at 4:30 in the morning going to the gym. He's sitting there laying in bed. He hears like, you know, 8 car doors. Boom, 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 boom. He fucking leaps up out of bed. He looks. He sees them running up the driveway with the battering rail. With the battering rail. He bolts to the door and swings it open. Ready to come through. He's like, don't fucking break the door. He's like, they're all standing there. Around. He's like,
he goes, what to do.
He goes, listen, I'm going to the gym. Here's the keys. He goes, leave the key, lock the door, leave the keys in the sneaker. I had an old pair of Reebok pumps.
No,
he'd always leave the key in the sneaker and the Reebok pumps in the He told the cop, he said, lock the door and you leave. Leave the keys in the sneaker.
I've never heard that one, but that's a good story.
He was so mad because he had money, $5,000 or $7,000 hidden somewhere and they found it and took it. And he's calling the police and he's like, that was my money. They're like, hey, sorry, we got a warrant for all money and drugs.
Oh,
my
God.
He's like, you motherfucker.
You know what that is, Mike? Oh. You know what that makes?
What?
$6,700 he lost this fucking time with the $1,700 at the fucking bottom of the ticket. He fucking guy.
True.
Yeah, listen. Now you know why he says,
I'm going to Tommy's house to use some tissues. This clinic's box feels a little heavy.
All right, it's getting late. How long have we been going, Justin?
An hour.
All right. Right on the money?
We're on the money.
Beautiful.
Pretty good, huh? Listen. Gary Bowles, anything else you'd like to say?
No, thank you guys for having me.
I think this might have even been better than the first one.
No, listen, this was a great show.
Gary's a good guy, man. Thank you guys for having me.
I really appreciate it, seriously.
Yeah, and fucking Nobody Cares Anthony.
Yep.
Shout out.
Yep.
Boy from Boston, Instagram.
Boy from Boston, 617 on Instagram and TikTok, and just Boy from Boston on Snapchat.
And like you said, you got some shows in the Cape.
What else? I'm at Laugh Boston on Friday. I'm at the Cape almost the whole month of September. Just follow me. I constantly over promote myself.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to start. I'm going to go tell a few jokes.
Yeah, you honestly should. So you listen, open mics start 5 minutes. You get a story that's 5 minutes and you just tell it. That's it. That's how I always tell people.
Tell a jail story, Mike. Yeah, tell a story about your father. Between the
two
of
you, you two should do a two mic fucking sitting on stools doing Mike's comedy show.
Listen, rule number one of the show, gotta wear the beard. I can't even wear 27 straight. Listen to this. But the rule number one of everything is Mike tells your jokes around.
Yeah, I'll tell the jokes. All right, that's our 64 in the books. Yeah, Gary Bowles.
That's a good one, man.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Great show. Great show.
And tell your father I said hello.
I will.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Send our best. For sure.
If you're wearing a mask out there, the fresh air's gonna get you. He always shoots from the hip for iced coffee, take a sip, toss it.